Welcome back, dear friends, to your daily dose of ancient wisdom. Today we continue the reading of Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana, Tritiya Skandha or Book 3, Discourse 17, which talks about birth of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha and the latter's conquest of the four quarters. Sage Maitreya continued. The gods or the denizens of the heaven were rid of fear on hearing the cause of the darkness as explained by Brahma the self-born, and then they all returned to heaven. As for Diti, the virtuous lady had been very apprehensive of the troubles to the god from the children in her womb ever since her husband predicted the same, and brought forth two twin sons after full 100 years. Even at the hour of their birth in that hermitage, many an evil portent which forbade a great calamity to the world occurred in heaven and on earth and the space between these two regions. Parts of the globe shook along with mountains, all quarters appeared to be on fire, meteoroids and thunderbolts descended downwards to earth, and comets pretending grief appeared. Their blue winds that were most uninviting to touch, hissing again and again and uprooting gigantic trees. They had storm for their army and clouds of dust for their ensigns. The luminaries in the heaven, having been screened by masses of clouds in which lightning sometimes flashed as though laughing, darkness reigned everywhere so that nothing could be seen anywhere. The oceans, with its high waves, wailed aloud as if stricken with sorrow, and there was commotion among the creatures inhabiting its bowels. The rivers and the lakes were also agitated with their lotuses withered. Misty halos appeared around the sun and the moon during solar and lunar eclipses again and again. Clasps of thunder were heard even without clouds, and sounds like that of rattling chariots emerged from the mountain caves. In the interior of the village, she-jackals yelled pretentiously, vomiting a strong fire from their mouths, and jackals and owls also joined them with their cries. Raising their necks, dog uttered here and there vicious cries in manners now of singing and now of wailing. And donkeys in rut ran hither and thither in herds, striking the earth, O Vidura, with their hard hooves as wildly braying. Frightened with the braying of the donkeys, birds flew shrieking out of their nests, while cattle in the cow pens and in the woods passed dung and urinated. Cows yielding blood in place of milk from terror, clouds rained pus, the images of gods shed tears, and trees fell down without a blast. Ominous planets such as Mars and Saturn shone brightly and surpassed the auspicious ones such as Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus, as well as a number of lunar mansions, and taking a seemingly retrograde course, came into conflict with one another. Noticing these and other such mighty portents of an evil type, people other than the sons of Brahma, namely Sanaka and others, who were aware of the fall of Jaya and Vijaya and their birth to Diti, were seized with fear inasmuch as they do not know the secret of these portents and thought that the dissolution of the universe was at its hand. The two earliest Daityas, or sons of Diti, soon revealed their former prowess, and with their steel-like frames grew to the size of two huge mountains. Kissing the sky with the crests of their golden crowns, screening the quarters with their bodies, and shaking the earth with their footfall at every step, and their arms adorned with the brilliant bracelets, they stood eclipsing the sun by their waist, which had surrounded with an excellent girdle. Kashyapa, one of the lords of created beings, gave them names according to the one, two twin brothers. The people came to know the one who descended from his lions and entered the womb first by the name of Hiranyakashyapu, while he whom Diti brought forth first was known as Hiranyaksha. It is to be noted that a mother develops two embryos in her wombs when the male generative fluid enters the menstrual flux in the uterus in two successive drops. The mother brings forth the twins in an order reversed to that which she conceives them. That to say, the child which was conceived before is brought forth later, while the one conceived latter is brought forth first. Fearing death at the hands of none by virtue of a boon got from Brahma, Hiranyakashipu was puffed up with pride and brought up under his sway by the strength of his arms all the three spheres, the earth, the heaven, and the subterranean region, along with their guardian deities. His beloved younger brother, Hiranyaksha, who always tried to please him and was very fond of war, once went up to heaven, mace in hand, seeking an adversary in combat. His tempo was difficult to resist. He had anklets of gold tinkling about his feet. Adorned with a Vijayanti garland, he rested his huge mace on one of his shoulders. His strength of mind and body, as well as the boon conferred on him by Brahma, had puffed him up. He feared death at the hands of none, and there was no check on him. The gods, therefore, were seized with fear at his very sight and hid themselves, even as snakes hide themselves from the fear of Garuda. The chief of the Daityas saw that they had vanished before his might and roared aloud to not finding Indra and other gods that had been intoxicated with power. Having returned their form, the mighty Daitya, like an elephant in rut, dived into the deep ocean, which was terribly roaring just for the sake of sport. On his entering the ocean, the aquatic creatures forming the host of Varuna, the god presiding over waters, were distracted with fear and ran away too far, scared by his very splendor, without his dealing even a blow. Moving out in the ocean for many years, the mighty Hiranyaksha smote the gigantic waves tossed by the winds with his iron mace again and again, and reached Vibhavari, the capital of Varuna, O dear Vidura. Seeing Pracheta, or Varuna, the guardian of Patala, the abode of demons, and the lord of the aquatic creatures there, he fell at the latter's feet like a low man to make fun of him, and said with a smile, "Give me a battle, O Supreme Lord. You are the guardian of a whole sphere and a ruler of wide fame, and have crushed the might of arrogant and conceited warriors. Nay, having conquered all the Daityas and Danavas in the world, you once performed a Rajasuya sacrifice, my lord." Thus, wantonly mocked by an enemy whose vanity knew no bounds, the worshipful lord of waters waxed angry, but he managed to curb the anger that had sprung in him by the dint of his reason and replied, "O dear one, we have now desisted from warfare and have grown too old for a combat. I do not see anyone else that the most ancient person, Lord Vishnu, who will give satisfaction in battle to you, who are so skilled in the ways of war. Therefore, O chief of Asuras, approach him, whom even heroes like you mention with praise. On reaching him, you will be rid of your pride at once and will lie down on the fields of the battle in eternal sleep, surrounded by dogs. It is in order to exterminate the wicked fellows like you and to show his grace to the virtuous that he assumes various forms from time to time." Thus ends the 17th discourse, forming part of the story of Hiranyaksha's conquest of the four quarters in Book 3 of the great and glorious Bhagavata Purana, otherwise known as Paramahamsa Samhita. Thank you.